Kathy Andely is a critically acclaimed journalist and author. Her work has appeared in numerous publications such as Billboard, Vibe, Pitchfork, and Rolling Stone, and she's held several editorial positions at top hip-hop urban websites. In 2019, she released the book God Save the Queens, The Essential History of Women in Hip-Hop. And in 2021, she released Baby Girl, better known as Ali. That's how I have to say it. Yandoli is an alumna in residence of music business at New York University and has appeared across the media and television and on radio and panels discussing hip hop and gender. And today is no different. Today, my guest is Kathy Yandoli. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Kathy, you've been doing this a long time. Tell us about your personal journey in music and in writing and in communicating. And now, to focusing on women in hip hop?
Well, I started, I guess, technically working in the music industry around 1996 when I got my first job at a record store. That's really when I started in high school. And then from there, a couple of years later, I got my first, I guess, like real quote unquote industry job because I was handing out flyers for the Roots.
Yeah.
And that was around the time that I started writing. So the journey now is about 25 years from the start of, hey, I think I want to work in music to now. As far as the writing portion, I had always been like a little writer. Like I was always just the kid who wrote essays just for fun and book reports over the summer, even when they weren't for assigned books. But I combined those two worlds a little over two decades ago. And it felt right to be able to tell stories about an art form and a culture that I hold so near and dear to my heart. And I guess the pivot to women in hip hop came about, I'll say about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, at the point in time where we were having kind of this lull previously of women in hip hop really getting proper shine. It was around the time when Nicki Minaj came out. Yeah. That I started to actively document what became like this new era for women. And I had a column featuring new women in hip hop for ID magazine. I had put together this idea to do a book at that point on women in hip hop, but the publishing world wasn't ready for it because they still had, for whatever reason, such little faith in three decades of women in hip hop. So it took like 10 years after that, at around the four decade mark, to be able to say, hey, there needs to be some sort of anthology that shows this very extensive history. Because before that, you know, you have these like hip hop books and it's usually like one page, usually called Ladies First.
Right.
You know, yeah. And they usually start at that song and they end at like Lauryn Hill, you know? Right. And while it's very important to cover those two very important parts, there's so much before, during, and after that keeps getting left out of the conversation. And I think it has a lot to do with the little faith and staying power, which is really upsetting. But now I think the tides are changing. So, you know, I'm still riding this wave and still covering all of these milestones as they're happening.
You know, it's so funny. So I got my first record store job in 1996 too.
And oh,
just
wow.
kind of rode that same wave and also kind of had that same journey that you're describing. And I agree with you. I mean, the history there with women in hip hop is rich. Why do you think now people are open to it?
I think because hip hop is different. Yeah. You know, hip hop has surpassed rock as the dominant genre that's considered actual pop music. And I think that we got to a point, and I would say it's around 99, 2000, maybe 2001. Once the recording industry took a huge hit because of Napster and they started to cut their budgets, they sacrificed the fame of women at that point because they wouldn't provide any money to tour women because they said there were too much money to tour them. So the requirements were you had to be full glam, you had to have like the pyrotechnics, like you had to have all of these things to have this elaborate stage setup as if a woman just standing there spitting just like a guy would do was like not enough of a draw. That kind of forced women in hip hop's hands to go ahead and continue to create these huge moments, these very, I'm not say elaborate brands, but really just focusing in on branding themselves. And for a little while, there was a lot of pushback as if women were pushing hip hop too far into a pop direction.
Mm-hmm.
But once that had already happened, and I believe it was years back when Kanye West beat 50 Cent in that album battle.
Yep.
I think that marked the change, really. I mean, it's really easy, obviously, like everything, to blame women.
Right.
But it was that monumental moment that I think shifted everything for hip hop. It put hip hop on a path to becoming popular music. And now, where you're only as good as your last hit by mainstream standards, women are killing it.
Yeah,
so
they are.
There's really no denying the reach of women in hip hop right now. Like, they could try to do it in decades past. You can try to minimize women on the road to the come up, or during the come up rather, but it's a little too late for all that now. And women are an undeniable force, and they're killing it. And women are more successful than ever before. And I think it's just such a long time coming. So I still don't think that men in the industry are ready to say, let's say, the greatest rapper, the top rapper is a woman. I don't think that they're ever going to get to that place of comfort, at least not anytime soon. But I think we all know that if you're talking about some of the most successful and talented artists are out in the mainstream landscape right now, they're women.
They're women. It's Cardi. It's Megan Thee Stallion. They are killing it. So for you, who's your first lady of hip hop that made that impression on you?
Wow. You know, I'm going to say Left Eye.
Really? She was your lady.
Yeah, the first women in hip hop that I ever saw in a music video were Queen Latifah and Moni Love and Ladies First.
Yeah.
And I was just completely taken by just the video and just the messaging. But I was still a little too young. It was like 1989. So I was 10 years old. So it didn't quite hit the way it was supposed to. It fascinated me as like a kid. But it wasn't until 92 when I became a teenager and I saw the TLC Ain't Too Proud to Beg video.
And you're like, yes.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this makes sense. So I literally spent the next like 4 years thinking I was Left Eye. Like, I legitimately dressed just like her, almost to an embarrassing degree. It was pretty ridiculous. I had the Dwayne Wayne from A Different World sunglasses.
Yeah, the flip.
And because I didn't have a condom at 13.
Right.
Nor did I even like get that that's what was on her.
I thought it was an egg. I don't know.
Right. I balled up saran wrap and used an index card and I taped it to my glasses.
Oh, you really went for it.
Oh no, I really was committed to this. Like, and I really thought, like, you know, they say, I really thought I understood the assignment. Like, I was wearing, and I would walk around like out in the world like that. And I remember asking my mother to get one of those t-shirts that says like, unbutton your fly.
Uh-huh.
And she was like hell, you're getting a t-shirt that says unbutton my fly or whatever. But I had an extensive collection of cross-colored t-shirts and like the purple or green or red jeans. Like, I yes. really, yeah, I was out there.
So now you're all up in it. You've got the anthology, the Queen's book. You've got the Aaliyah book. You even got, is it a set of tarot cards coming out?
Yes, I have. It's called the Hip Hop Queens Oracle Deck. And what I did was, it was loosely inspired by God Save the Queens. And it's 52 women in hip hop and women who are adjacent to hip hop, like Mary J. Blige and Angie Martinez. And it's a deck where each woman has a particular attribute. And I wrote a guidebook on how to incorporate these attributes into your everyday.
So it's not like the Ace of Cups and like your traditional and then...
Yeah, that's tarot. These are oracle. So oracle cards are different in their messaging, where tarot cards have a lot more symbolism in the cards, where oracle decks have a representation or an image that reflects some sort of a path or decision making that you're looking to achieve. It's more like wisdom based as opposed to predictability and a little less analytical. Oracle cards are more or less guiding you on a decision or a path that you're trying to take. So it's more long-term focused.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've been reading for, I'll say, about 5 or 6 years. You know, rappers come to my house and I do their oracle cards for them. So like if they're having like a big decision or trying to sign a record deal, they usually come over and I'll do their...
You're like, let's do this.
Yeah. Or I bring them with me when I go to interviews, or if I'm seeing anybody, like visiting them and stuff, I bring the deck.
Well, what a great way to get to know somebody too. Like that's kind of a nice personal interaction too.
It is. It's actually really cool. And it, you know, I think like, especially when you're a recording artist, as much as you have an entire team helping you make decisions, there's decisions that are being made every day around you. And then you're faced with certain things that you know can completely change your path.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, especially artists, any celebrity in the creative industries, they don't have anyone to kind of consult with to be like, what are the options on a spiritual level, right?
Right.
Maybe they're deeply rooted within like organized religion and they speak to like a pastor or somebody like that. But from just like a self-management perspective, you really don't have people to kind of just talk to and be like, hey, I'm thinking, should I change genres? Should I switch labels? Should I go from distribution with this major label to trying to do a formal deal to get an imprint deal? Like there's things that they think about that. It's less clinical when you're talking it out with an oracle deck as opposed to like speaking to a manager and looking over the checks and balances. So sometimes it's just really nice to have that counterbalance when they're thinking about certain things within their lives and careers.
So when you went to pitch the oracle deck, at this point, they're like, oh, here comes a hip hop lady with another idea. Or were they like, yeah, let's do this? Are you breaking your own barriers now that, you know, you've found this niche and you're filling it so well? I know there's a Lil' Kim book coming out. There's all sorts of stuff going on.
Well, I didn't actually pitch it. It was kind of the brainchild between myself and my editor, Portia at Clarkson Potter, who's an incredible editor, but also friend. And it was something that we had been speaking about in terms of creating some sort of gifting item.
Yeah, it's great.
That spoke to the heart of God Save the Queens, but also could live by itself for people who might not be familiar with the book. I bought this like tarot deck, a hip hop tarot deck, and I was showing her these cards and they were just like drawings. There was no meanings behind them. And that was, I think, the genesis of it, where it was like, what if we made something more meaningful? Because very rarely when you have these pop culture inspired decks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's either too much of something or not enough of something else. So you'll either have someone who's incredibly spiritual doing the deck, where it becomes so standoffish to people in the music or, you know, in pop culture, or you have someone who's just so deeply embedded into pop culture, but they don't understand the metaphysical side. So for someone like myself, who is very active in both of those worlds, I think that this is probably the first pop culture deck where there's like a real and true balance, because you don't have to have listened to hip hop a day in your life to use these cards effectively. And likewise, you don't even have to understand how Oracle decks work to pick up this deck as a hip hop fan and understand it. Because what I also do is I break down how to use it functionally as a music fan, like throwing down cards to develop your own super group.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Or posse cut. Like, yeah. Or like the word of the day.
Okay. So one last question. What do you say? I think, you know, you have the kind of career that any girl out there aspiring to be the next Kathy would, you know, want to know, well, how do you do this? Any advice for anybody out there who is aspiring, who wants to be a writer, who wants to feed into their passions?
I always like to quote Biggie when people ask me this, and I say, stay low and keep firing. Nice. And I think that that's something that I've maintained over the course of, you know, 2.5 decades of following this. And don't be afraid to pivot. because I think we have this glamorous job in our minds, which like lives somewhere in between the Devil Wears Prada and a leather notebook at Starbucks.
Right.
Right. And or Carrie Bradshaw, right?
Right.
Or Sid Shaw and Brown Sugar. And certain days of the week, it could be any one of those characters.
Sure.
But become your own character, write your own character, because that's the person that's going to be the most authentic to you. I went into this thinking first I was Liv Tyler and Empire Records with, you know, a touch of Kate Hudson and Almost Famous. And yeah. A little bit of Winona Ryder and Girl Interrupted, as strange as that may sound, like that. Those were like, that was my holy trinity coming in. And then Sid Shaw came along right after that. And I was like, okay, so now I feel complete. And then, you know, I really got to this point where I looked at all the characters who were writers or music enthusiasts. And I was like, oh, I can do this. But then I came to realize that nothing of what I did was mm-hmm. remotely close to what they did. Like, I would never be able to buy all of Carrie Bradshaw's shoes and pay my rent.
Right. I don't think any of us could.
Right. Or hold a full-time job and write an entire book like Sid Shaw did. Like, I think about that all the time, because I did do a lot of writing still when I was writing God Save the Queens, but I thought about like Sid Shaw at her computer toasting to hip hop in Brown Sugar. And I was just like, do I have to get champagne because I finished and toast hip hop? I was basically sitting in my bed with like popcorn. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the reality of it is something else.
Yeah. So keep your expectations reasonable, but yeah, stay low and keep firing.
Well, there you have it. Today, my guest has been Kathy Iandoli. We've got all sorts of stuff to look for from her. Just check out her Amazon list. She's got a whole ton of books. And then, of course, the Oracle cards are coming out. The Aaliyah book is out. There's a Little Kim book coming out. Kathy, thank you so much for spending some time with me on State of the Arts.
Thank you so much for having me.